You came this morning to worship the Lord and to hear an Alan. But the Alan Connor that you expected to be here is sick in bed. And I found out that last night. So it's my privilege to share with you a few thoughts. And it just so happened that the theme of our worship that Alan had picked out at the start of the month was exactly the thought that I was planning on sharing. So, as the theme of our worship, angels and men adore him, I will hopefully share with you some thoughts on angels. This will be a curtailed devotional sermon or a mini sermon, but I hope you enjoy it as much as I have in looking over the scriptures in preparation. Angels are all through the Bible. And I particularly was interested in seeing the occurrence of the word angel or angels in the New Testament. And as many of you electronic gadget lovers like myself have discovered, you can get a Bible on a Palm Pilot. And so with the search facilities of a electronic wizardry, I've discovered that in all of the New Testament, the word angel or angels occur 173 times. That's quite a few times. As you break that down, 70 of those occurrences are in the last book of the Bible, the revelation of God to John. And you would expect to see a lot on angels in the last book of the Bible because it's a vision of heaven, the presence of God. And angels are everywhere, as I said, mentioned 70 times in one book. If you back up to the epistles of Paul, of Jude, of John, and Peter, you find 30 more references to angel or angels. In the book of Acts, of course, the miniature history of the early church, you find 21 references of angels. And then in the four Gospels, you find 52. The numbers are not important other than to point out that angels are mentioned many times in the Scriptures. But angels, like miracles, seem to come at particular moments in history. You would think there would be a uniform revelation of miracles or angels throughout the Bible. But this does not seem to be the case. Just like the miracles that we read about, they seem to be bunched together. The creation, the flood, the miracles surrounding Moses, the miracles surrounding some of the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, and others. Then you come to the New Testament and you see the appearance of miracles that explode in the life of our Lord and those of the apostles. The same with angels. We do see encounters of angels through the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, there are many appearances of angels. And this is what I would like for us to study this morning. Especially the occurrences of angels as they regard to the birth of our Lord. The word angel is really the word for messenger. All an angel is a messenger. The messengers happen to come from God, who sent them on a mission to perform on earth. And you might say, why does God send messengers? Probably because he has a message. And we do well to listen to the message of the angels. I would like for us to look at four particular incidents of angels talking to humans in regard to the birth of our Savior. They will be in chronological order: the angel appearing to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, then to Joseph, then to Mary, then the shepherds. So if you would like to follow me in your scripture, you can turn first of all to Luke chapter 1. And it's interesting, as I might mention as you turn to Luke 1, that most of the occurrences of angels, for some reason, occur in the Gospels in Luke and Matthew. Mark and John do not have the same number of references to angels. Why, I'm not certain. I have my theories. We know that Luke was an astute doctor, and he was a historian, and I'm certain that he interviewed many of those who actually saw the angels. I would not be surprised if he interviewed, in his preparation for his gospel, some of the shepherds that actually saw angels. I'm certain that he met with Mary, the mother of our Lord, and heard firsthand her account of the angel Gabriel and that of her husband, who was probably deceased by that time. But Luke and Matthew record most of these incidents. Looking in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. And an angel, and this is in reference to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who is a priest. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense, when he was in the temple. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." Here we see one of the first encounters of an angel with Zacharias. Still, I guess you would literally say in the Old Testament, because Christ had not been born, but preparation for the birth of Christ. And it's interesting, as you read verse 19, that he identifies himself almost indignantly when he's challenged by Zacharias. How can these things be? He comes very bold. He says, "I am Gabriel." One of the chief archangels who stands in the presence of God. "And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Can you imagine the reaction of Gabriel standing in front of you and telling you something? I cannot. I would be, as we encounter many other people who talk to angels or see a presence, falling to their feet and being very afraid. But first of all, we see the announcement. Let's go next to Joseph to see how Joseph encountered an angel. And now we turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Joseph, of course, understood that Mary was pregnant, and he did not want to disgrace her, so he was going to secretly put her away, as we well know the story. But verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from his sins." This was a dream. But it was a definite appearance. It was a definite message that came through loud and clear to Joseph, and he responded accordingly. If you look to the next chapter of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 13, we see after the birth of Christ and after he lived a few months, again, an angel appears in a dream to Joseph, verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, as Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." This is right after, of course, the wise men, the kings of the east, came to visit the newborn King Jesus, and immediately an angel, talked to Joseph and told him to escape, get out of the country. And as he predicted, he would tell him when to return. And if you flip on to chapter, and later in the chapter, verse 19, 2:19, after being in Egypt for a while, "And when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So we see two encounters with angels, both Zacharias and Joseph. Then, of course, one of the most beautiful and longest recorded is the encounter of Gabriel again to Mary. So if you turn back to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, we'll not read the entire conversation, but we will get the gist of it. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled, as any of us would be, at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So here we see the introductory part of the conversation that the angel Gabriel, again, must have been a popular messenger of God to go not only to Zacharias, but now to Mary. And of course, she responds after the angel leaves with the Magnificat that we all love. And she was in rapture because she had been selected of all women to bear the Messiah, to bear the Savior. Then the most popular encounter of humans with angels, and what many songs that we've sung even this morning refer to, is the encounter of the shepherds with the angels. And Todd has already read from Luke chapter 2 both the encounter and the response of the shepherds, which is so exciting. In chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there again, starting with verse 8 through 20, we see the encounter, and I'll not read it again, only make comment. First of all, there was one angel. If you look, first of all, there were shepherds keeping watch over their fields. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. One angel, and said the glory shone round them. It's not necessarily other angels, it's around the shepherds. The shepherds saw this glory, this light, this mysterious, whatever it was, and they were petrified. And the angel said to them, again, one angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ, or translated Messiah, the Lord. And it goes on and tells them where he's going to be found. And the sign is going to be that he will be found in a manger. You don't put babies in feeding troughs of animals, do you? No. You put them in nice, warm, and cuddly blankets, and you hold them and protect them. But the sign was that they would find the Messiah, the promised Savior, the one whom Israel had longed for years and eons, was to be born, and they were the first to be told of his birth. Shepherds. And the sign was they were going to find him in Bethlehem, in a feeding trough. But the message was, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Can you imagine the joy that that angel had in pronouncing that message? And then, verse 13, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Notice it does not, we usually think of the multitude of angels in the sky, don't we? There's paintings we've seen of these heavenly choirs of angels sitting on air, you know, in stands in neat order, kind of like we would a choir of humans in a church. But that's not what the text says. I can't reconstruct exactly what it must have been like, but I assume the angels were on the ground and they suddenly appeared all around the shepherds after the first one had given his pronouncement, and they started praising God as a multitude. The word multitude is there, and of course, as you chase that word through the New Testament, it refers to many, many people. And I have no idea how many angels a multitude of angels is. I would say 1,000. Remember, the multitudes came to Jesus and he fed the multitudes, some 3,000, some 5,000. So I would guess there's at least 1,000 angels. Can you imagine 1,000 angels glorifying God? Can you imagine what the shepherds must have thought? And then it says they went into heaven. So I assume they ascended at that time. But what an experience. And as you can see, as Todd read 15 through 20, the response of the shepherds, they immediately went and found the Christ child, just as they had predicted where he would be. And they told everybody. And everybody who heard him, it says, wondered. They thought these guys were crazy at first, probably. When they kept talking to other shepherds, no, I saw him too. No, it was a great number. It was a large multitude, an impression on these humble men that they never forgot, I'm certain. You can be for sure that Mary didn't forget, because in verse 19 it says, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. She was probably Luke's primary source of information on all of these events, because she pondered them. She thought deeply about them. And he recorded them for our benefit. Well, let's draw two conclusions concerning these encounters with angels. First of all, as we mentioned, they are not uniform. Appearances of angels are not uniform throughout all the Bible, but they seem to come at particular events. And as in your bulletin, the title of our talk, Angels, God's Exclamation Point. I see the appearance of angels as God's exclamation point. He has a message. He sends a messenger, and it's a very important message. And not only one event, but repeatedly on at the birth of Christ, angels, 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 appearance after appearance, all with a message. If God thought the birth of Christ was this important, to put an exclamation point, then we too should take note of this marvelous event. Christmas is special. It's something that God wants us to ponder and think deeply about. Secondly, as we mentioned, a definition of an angel is a messenger. God has a message. He wanted his message heard. And those that saw the angels forever remembered those encounters. We are not angels, but we are messengers also. And we are angels to those whom we share the good news with. The man that led me to Christ, my scout leader, Mike Allison, is an angel to me. He told me about Christ. I recall it very, very vividly when I was 16. And we have the privilege of sharing the greatest news ever announced, just like the angels. We can do it on our own free will, with great joy and delight. So I would encourage you, as you pursue this Christmas time, to be messengers, to be angels to those around us, and to proclaim the glad tiding that God wants us all to have, and put the same exclamation mark that God does. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you that you did not want us to wonder if this event of our Savior coming was important or not, but you made it dramatically clear, repeatedly through individual after individual, that something special, something new, something wonderful was here. And, O Lord, how we join together with each other and raise our voices in adoration and praise with the multitude of angels that sang around Bethlehem hills with the shepherds. And how we will join those multitudes in heaven that John speaks of in the Revelation, praising you and adoring you forever. And now, our Lord, give us grace as we live out our lives, that we might be messengers and the angels that you desire us to be. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.